Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Friday, everybody. That means Brewers Outlet, especially with a hot weekend coming up. One of those hot August weekends. You need to cool down. Great way to do that, beverages. Best selection of beer anywhere. Imports, domestics, microbrews, including great specials through Tuesday. Yingling Oktoberfest. 12-pack bottles, just $11.98. Yes, Yingling Oktoberfest is back. Miller Lite 24-pack, 16-ounce cans, $14.95. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. The pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, and yes, even Buhner's garlic. All second to none at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we are proudly in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Barrett Salee of CBS Sports and Sirius XM is going to join us in a few moments. But first, our play-by-play call of the day. Gee, I wonder which one we picked.
And a 2-2 on the way.
Swung on, hit high and deep, right field, and that ball is gone!
Look at Harper go around the bases. He's sprinting.
Bryce Harper headed for the plate at full speed. Game over. Phillies win it. 7-5 the final.
That is the great moment of the season right there. That might be the great moment for any team this season. How about that? Larry Anderson, Scott Fransky with the call on the Phillies Radio Network. And News Radio 1070 WKOK. Oh, go ahead. Play it again. All the Philly fans want to hear. Play it again.
And a 2-2 on the way.
Swung on, hit high and deep, right field, and that ball is gone!
Look at Harper go around the bases. He's sprinting!
Bryce Harper headed for the plate at full speed! Game over, Phillies win it! 7-5 the final!
Feel better now?
I do.
There you go.
And you got to keep capitalizing now. After that, you got the Padres in for the weekend, and you know they swept the Cubs. Padres not all that impressive this season, total, although Manny Machado's trying to get it together. But they got an easy chance to capitalize and also get another sweep this weekend. Just keep building momentum. Like you've said before here on the show, just keep winning. Just win. Just keep winning, and you know, just keep your... You know, face in that wild card situation. See how it shakes out.
Win series. See, how many series can you win? Now, you don't ask them to sweep. Just win the series. All right. Barrett Salee is with CBS Sports. A lot to talk about, including Nick Saban. Do as I say, not as I do. Barrett, welcome. It's great to have you with us on the show.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so Nick Saban, and again, when he speaks, it's the equivalent of being in a press conference with Gandhi. He says, Everybody should be playing 10 Power 5 games. So, Barrett, why hasn't he been playing 10 Power 5 games when he's had the control over it the entire time?
Because he doesn't have to. And in this landscape, there's no reason to not play by the rules as they currently are. It's the same philosophy he had when 5 years ago him and Brett Bielema advocated for the silly 10-second rule that required you to have to wait 10 seconds on the play clock to snap a football.
Right.
Philosophically, that's what he wanted. And that very same year, he hired Lane Kiffin and ran a hurry-up, no-huddle offense and won an SEC title and went to the playoff with it. So they're two different discussions, what he wants and what he will do. And it's easier for him, and it's better for his program now to schedule the way that he has. And
exactly.
There's no reason why he should or needs to put his money where his mouth is, because until he gets his way, he'd be crazy not to take advantage of whatever the system is.
Absolutely. That is every word of that is spot on. So now let's get to the College Football Playoff Committee. Do they have the capability within their rules, since they are the College Football Playoff Incorporated, to mandate you play 10 Power 5 schools?
I do not think that they do. I think that they can make suggestions, but the College Football Playoff Selection Committee is still it still reports to the commissioners in various different ways. So it's not going to put itself in jeopardy by trying to tell those guys what to do, because those guys are the reason the College Football Playoff exists, right? So if they decide to try to make some kind of mandate at the College Football Playoff level, then the commissioners are going to either agree or disagree, and those who disagree will put the existence of the College Football Playoff as we know in jeopardy, or at least conceivably could. So I do think that schools and ADs and presidents and coaches will take cues from how the playoff selection committee does view certain teams with certain positives or negatives on the resumes every year to sort of gauge where they need to address their scheduling principles moving forward. And I think they've done that to an extent. I think you've seen that the Big Ten, for instance, hasn't necessarily got the benefit of the doubt all the time. The Pac-12 certainly hasn't. So you've seen, especially the Pac-12, make a much bigger effort to places where they're playing, whether either traditional powers in the SEC or ACC, or at least teams that are, somewhat decent, because it does show an effort to do that. So, the playoff committee can't do that. Inc. can't do that. I do think that ADs have taken cues from how they view things to sort of address their scheduling practices moving forward.
It seems to me, and you can correct me on this, that they've sent mixed messages, because we just talked about playing 10 Power 5 schools. Well, Washington, the year they made it in, did play 10 Power 5 schools. But the 10th was Rutgers, which which was the single most difficult non-conference game in their schedule. Others included Portland State, and I can't remember the other game. They rewarded that. Doesn't that send a message?
It does, but I mean, look, they were a one-loss Pac-12 champion, with the one loss coming to a New Year's Six bowl game in USC. So the messages have to be sort of received within a sort of a vacuum of that specific year, right? So in that specific year, you had Washington really with no other option. I mean, I know that people try to make cases for other teams, Penn State included. But Washington was a one-loss Pac-12 champ. That resume was certainly enough, even though they did play Rutgers, to warrant inclusion. So, yeah, I mean, you can certainly take something from that, but then you also have to view every season as its own sort of thing, which is what makes the College Football Playoff great, because they actually award or reward teams based on how the season actually plays out, and not some arbitrary, geographical or academically determined conference affiliation. So, they're going to send mixed messages all the time, but I think what people have to, and this is really hard for people to do, but people have to recognize that they're not supposed to be consistent with their messages. If they were consistent with their messages, then the entire goal of the college football playoff would be compromised because, like I said, every single season is different, and right, the definition of championship worthy changes every single year, as it should.
Right. No, you're right about that. And you're also right that Nick Saban and Dabo Swinney are doing nothing wrong with their scheduling. They're allowed to do what they're doing. I mean, you're allowed to do it, so I don't blame them. I'd take the easier road too. I mean, if I could play the Citadel the next last week of the regular season and get away with it, I'd do it. What the heck?
Well, but here's the thing with that, though. I mean, Nick Saban, by and large, tries to schedule a massive, massive out-of-conference game every single year. Now, traditionally, it's been a kickoff game at a neutral site. For the next 10 years, basically, it's not. I mean, this year, sort of an outlier with Duke. And last year with Louisville, that contract was signed when Louisville was actually pretty darn good. They didn't right. know that Bobby Petrino sure. would stop forget to recruit or just flat-out stop recruiting at Louisville. So, you know, but, I mean, it's... The idea, I know folks up in State College and everywhere else get mad about Cupcake Saturday, and I do too. I mean, I would mandate that be a conference game only weekend, right. And they are starting to do that. I mean, A&M and Alabama play during traditional Cupcake weekend next year. So,
yeah.
I mean, that part of the scheduling, I understand why they do it, again, because it's within the rules. But I do think that the commissioner of the SEC, Greg Sankey, has taken back some power and is clearly making that weekend a priority to fix.
Yeah, because I can tell you I personally announced the last non-conference game that Alabama played in the road. It was here. It was here.
2001.
2011.
When Phillip Simms and A.J. McCarron were still, air quote, in yes. a quarterback battle.
Yes, in a quarterback battle, and then A.J. McCarron went all the way in the game, and that pretty much ended the quarterback battle between the two. Here's the problem I have with, quote, Cupcake Weekend. All right, the college football playoff meets to delve out rankings, you know, when they're going to actually do a ranking. Six times, does that sound right?
You know, I think it's six. Sometimes it's five, but
yeah,
I think it's
five
six.
Or six. That's one of the weekends. And see, it's like in the middle of when we're now supposed to be ranking who's in and out, you do this. See, that's the problem I've had with it. It's like if they did it like the weekend before, I'm like, who cares, right? But in the middle of this, when other people are putting their guts on the line, they aren't by choice.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like it either. I mean, again, I would do it if I could, if I was an AD and a coach.
But, yeah, I do. I agree with you.
Yeah, but I don't like it either. And so I think what really is happening, and this is why, you know, the SEC announced its 2020 schedule last week, and you saw LSU Auburn is during Cupcake Saturday, A&M Alabama is, A&M Georgia is this year. I think what's happened is networks, and I'm not saying my network has, although it probably has, I just don't know for sure, but you know, we do carry the SEC game of the week.
Right.
But, I mean, the programming aspect of it and the fact that, let's be honest, all of these things, not just college football, but every single sport, they're all TV shows, right?
Yeah, you got
like,
that
all,
right.
All that they are. And, yeah. And programming perspective, especially in the SEC East, because, I mean, think about this. Four of the seven SEC East teams have out-of-conference rivalry games at the end of the season,
yeah.
right? So if you play a cupcake the week before, which the vast majority of them have traditionally done, you're giving up the SEC East race halfway through November, and in some cases right. long before that.
Yeah.
And so from a programming perspective, I think CBS, my company, and ESPN probably were like, y'all, come on now. Like, we can't air Kentucky-Mississippi State on national TV
right.
at 3:30 on CBS.
Exactly.
Like, we can't do that. So,
right.
Yeah.
No, absolutely right. And you're right. And I've met, how many times have you heard me say college football, college basketball, they're TV shows.
That's all they are.
I mean, that's exactly what they are. I want to ask you about an intriguing article you wrote or discussion you've had about Kellen Mond and Jimbo Fisher. What makes them a combination that really bears watching as this season goes along?
I think when Jimbo got there, I don't necessarily think Kellen Mond was A, as receptive to his system as he should have been, and B, you know, physically capable of running that system. And despite that, he won the starting job. And I think when bullets started flying, when the games actually mattered, I think Jimbo recognized that, you know, maybe Kellen just didn't practice in a way that really reflects how he plays, because he plays a lot better. And so I think now that they sort of have that relationship and now that they know each other, you're going to see a much more consistent offense, especially factoring in all the receivers that they have. I mean, I'd say outside of Tuscaloosa and Clemson, South Carolina, they have the best receiving core in the country. So two things, coupled with, I think, the decision by Mike Elko to come back as the defensive coordinator and more depth up front, even though they lost some guys. Justin Madubuike is one of the best defensive linemen in the country. I think all those things combined, you know, make Texas A&M just completely intriguing. I think in terms of what that's the next Clemson or Alabama. Like, Texas A&M should be that, with the resources they have, the money that they have, the recruiting base that they have, the fact that they're the SEC school in Texas, all those things combined, they should be that program. And they're not yet, but Jimbo's got a long time to build it, and I think this is going to go this year. I mean, the record-wise, the schedule's so tough,
might
not show from a record perspective. Yeah. Watch that team. They are going to be really, really good, even if they lose the game they're supposed to lose.
Yeah, that's the one that's the one I was just about to bring up. Their schedule's brutal. I mean, they are not underscheduled by any stretch of the imagination, not even remotely close. I don't know if you've heard about this. You probably have, but we talked about it in the previous half hour. Billy Napier, Louisiana Lafayette, gets up in front of his team and has strongly encouraged them. I think he made it sound mandatory, but now they're using the word strongly encouraged, that each of the players should give $50 to the Raging Cajun Fund to show how grateful they are for their scholarships and the university and so on and so forth. We're in a world where a lot of people are calling for these players to be paid, not give money back.
Yeah. It's funny though how required became encouraged once Twitter got wind of this morning, right?
Yeah.
Suddenly there was something lost in translation. I don't get it either. Like, you're supposed to, like, now if you're a player, you're supposed to be a booster and pay for the stuff that your scholarship is supposed to cover, because, I mean, a scholarship covers full cost of attendance. A scholarship covers facilities. A scholarship covers training and equipment. And you go look at the Raging Cajun Athletic Fund website, quite literally it says it is designed to support all of those things, which are required as part of the scholarship. So I don't know. It is a really, really dumb idea that clearly backfired on Louisiana Lafayette.
Yeah, if you take 85 scholarships, you multiply it times 50, I want to say I come out to almost about $42.50 or something like that.
Is like one stipend for full cost of attendance, depending on which school you are. I don't know what their actual figure is, but it's about one. It's about that.
Yeah, it's also if one individual gave part of his salary, he would still have $845,750 left. That's Billy Napier.
And he's not even highly paid.
Yeah, I know, and he's not. He's considered to be on the, quote, the low end of the spectrum as a head coach. I just thought I'd do this by the numbers, Barrett.
Well, I mean, honestly, it's a really screwy sport, and that's what we love about it, right?
That's exactly right. Hey, it's really great having you on the show. Appreciate it very much. Always enjoy when I hear you on Sirius. Always feel like I'm getting great conversation when I hear you on College Sports Nation and so forth on 84.
I appreciate that very much.
You bet, Barrett. Thanks so much.
All right, thanks.
Barrett Salee, CBSSports.com. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all
applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
You can win tickets to the Penn State-Michigan game. Sun Habitat for Humanity is raffling off tickets to the October 19th game at Beaver Stadium. Two tickets for great seats, a parking pass, and a $100 Visa gift card can be yours. Raffle tickets are $30 each or $25 each for a four-pack or more. Visit sunhabitat.org. Even if you're a Michigan fan, you could win. Maybe. The Penn State versus Michigan game raffle presented by Sun Habitat for Humanity. All proceeds stay local to benefit local families. Sunhabitat.org or email sandy@sunhabitat.org.
Join Sun Habitat for the event drawing on September 12th at East Snyder Park, Selins Grove, with Penn State and Buccaneers player Alan Zamaitis. Need not be present to win.
Get ready for another season of Shikellamy Braves football on WKOK.
Herring to the 40, to the 50, down to the 30, down the sideline to the 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Shikellamy!
The Braves season starts next Friday, the 23rd, when they travel to Danville to take on the Ironmen. Listen to Shikellamy Braves football on News Radio 1070 WKOK, WKOK.com, and on the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.
Brewers Outlet, the beverage superstock superstores, ready for all of your warm weather activities. Camping, picnics, grilling, visit Brewers Outlet first. For microbrews, imports, domestic specialties, they got them. Grab some pickles at the Pickle Bar, Steve Jones' favorite place. Snacks, Brewers Outlet has that covered. Soda, sports drinks, check. Weekly specials, too. And there's lots of convenient parking. So get all the refreshments everyone will love for your next outdoor gathering at Brewers Outlet, the beverage superstock superstore, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection to beer anywhere. It's going to be a hot weekend. Nice, cold, refreshing beverage would feel great. And believe it or not, Yuengling Oktoberfest, one of the specials now through Tuesday. 12-pack bottles, $11.98. Miller Lite 24-pack, 16-ounce cans, $14.95. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummelsworth, the best in the business. Week from today, high school football starts. 2 weeks from tomorrow, Penn State and Idaho start. And every Friday, we always bring in, you may introduce him since you are now one of the voices of Little League Baseball.
You are very kind. I'm looking forward to that very much. We can dive into that as to how that all came about since we really haven't talked about the story behind the story. But we have to bring in, yes, the pride and joy of Enfield High. Number 78 in that Enfield High football program. Number one in our hearts. The one and only, yes, your brother, Steve, Kevin Jones.
What up?
What up?
Well, Sean, as you watch the Little League World Series and you watch a couple of international games in the background, you will hear his voice because Sean Carey is
talking about it.
Yes. Sean, tell them how this happened.
Well, my first job in high school, was a PA Little League announcer.
This is going to be like Ted Baxter and the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
It all began
at a 5,000-watt radio station in Fresno, California.
No, a year or two before I got into radio, I was PA announcing Little League games in Lock Haven. So when my nephew, who turned 10 within the last year, he qualified for majors, and that is the level you see at Little League every year at Lomity and Volunteer. I got back into the press box, and it did about a PA announced about 7 or 8 of his games during the regular season. Well, some of the other people in the Keystone Little League heard it, heard me, and they said, "I watch you. You know, once the playoffs start in late June, maybe you can do 1 or 2 of those games. We'll see how you sound." Well, a District 12 rep was there. Say, "Hey, why don't you come to Lomedy Stadium and you can PA announce 1 or 2 of the district final games, the 11U game and the 11-12 game, or the 12U game." So I did one of those. The third base umpire of the 11U game that I did is one of the communications guys at Little League. Well, there is a core of PA announcers that come in every year for the World Series for the 10-plus days. There is a gentleman who would come in every year from California. He had to have surgery not too long ago. Luckily, it was nothing life-threatening, thank goodness, but he's not able to come to Central PA this year for the series. So that was in play, and also one of the other top PA announcers over at Little League, he's going to be over at Bowman Field Sunday night to PA announce the Little League Classic Major League game between the Pirates and Cubs. So it was just a couple of openings that went into play. They were in a little bit of a pinch, and they got in touch with me, and that's how we ended up there. So we'll be PA announcing at Volunteer Stadium on Sunday morning, the 9 a.m. game and the 1 p.m. game. At this point, we know the 9 a.m. game Sunday morning, it's going to be South Korea versus Curacao.
I'm all over it. Yeah. I'll be there. I got the whole house to myself. I'll tape it, save it. Awesome, dude. And I think he's going to be a mainstay, Steve. He'll be the main...
No doubt.
Main guy down there. And soon, he could be at Beaver Stadium.
Yeah.
You did that at Beaver Stadium.
Yes, I did.
I was there one day when you did that.
Yeah.
Did I ever tell you this story, Sean?
Go ahead.
My father and I go to the game. And God rest his soul, my father had Alzheimer's, and he was starting to come down with it. And there was like a foot of snow in the stands.
Oh, that's suspicious. Yeah.
So, you know, kids are throwing snowballs and all that stuff, and they start throwing snowballs at Amani Toomer. I think they were playing Michigan State or somebody. And, the stadium announcer comes on. It says, "Please refrain from throwing snowballs in the stands." Said every time the stadium announcer said that, people started throwing more. So then he does it again. "Please refrain from throwing snowballs." And my father goes, "Someone's got to tell that idiot to stop saying that." "That's your son." He goes, "That's Steve?" I said, "Yeah, well, tell him to stop."
Well, actually, and I couldn't.
I know you couldn't. You had to do what they told you to do.
What happened, they'd come down, and they'd hand me the script, and I'd had to read it. Then they'd come down, I had to read the, you know, just can't sit there and go, "I'm sorry, the more I say it, the more they throw it, I'm throwing this out." And so you did what they handed you, and of course, you know the reason they do is for liability. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
You know,
well,
but yeah, that's exactly.
Don't shoot the messenger, you know.
I know.
That's, you were just doing your job, but it was just funny. So later that day, Steve does a radio show after the game at a hotel. And I got the headphones out, and people are calling up, "Who's that stadium announcer?" Who kept telling people to stop throwing snowballs. The more he said it, the more they threw. Oh, it was funny.
And then when I told him it was Kevin Jones.
I wasn't sure. That was the game I took that guy, the guy in front of us. Oh, my God, was he making me mad. He was from Michigan, and he was drunk, and he kept hitting us. I was going to pop the guy, and his hat fell off, and it was the Michigan versus Ohio State hat. You know, the called the game or something. So I took it, and I buried it in the snow. He's looking for his hat. I don't know where it is. I didn't steal it. I just buried it. So. The good old days. But that was fun. Sean's going to do a great job. I can't wait. Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
You will be great there.
Oh, I appreciate that so much. Yeah, I was hoping to I was in the box yesterday with Gabe Sinacropi. Of course, Steve, you just saw Gabe earlier this week with the Spikes and Crosscutters, you know, continuing their Sawbuck series. And I get there, but the only game they played yesterday was the was the Curacao Australia game. So unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to see any in-game play to get the formatics down. But we're going to be up there for a bit tonight. We'll get there for a game or two tomorrow, just to have everything lined up. What I'll need to be counted on for doing on Sunday.
Awesome. So, how do you, just out of curiosity, the pronunciation of the names, how do they break it down for you?
The head of communications, we received an email on Wednesday, the ones that were suspect that needed that we would need help in getting pronunciations on. So I received a guide on Wednesday afternoon. Actually, it was during the show here on Wednesday. I was checking email and got a pronunciation guide. But I've also I DVR'd the Caribbean Australia game yesterday. So last night after I got home from the complex, I watched that because I just wanted to hear how the names sounded, and I'll do that again tonight. I'll get home tonight and I'll catch some games on the DVR and just make sure everything's good to go for Sunday. So
awesome.
Yep.
A lot of work goes into it. A lot of work behind the scenes that nobody ever sees. So.
Oh, and he has to play music too.
Yep, I'll be standing in front of a mixer board. So we have
really that's cool.
Yeah, yep. So the songs and music that you'll hear between innings, I play those, and we have a specific playlist that we follow. And all that is approved ahead of time by Little League Baseball. So it's not like I can. Yeah, I'll be playing music from an iPad, but it's not my iPad, and it's not my playlist that I, after a tough day here at the station, that I, my raging playlist that I crank up on Interstate 80 at the Mile Run exit. It's not from that.
You gotta have a little bit of Monica, right? love that at a ball game. A little bit of Monica in my brain.
Mambo,
I want to go.
Mambo number 5 could be in a playlist. I'll have to look. There's a different playlist for every game. So there's actually 29 different playlists, and there'll be there's a specific folder with the national anthems, because not every game you'll have a singer on the field performing the national anthem for the for the countries. For the international games, we just play the versions of that for those countries. So I'll be queuing them up, and there's like a folder with instrumental organ music. Like if one of the managers go to the mound, or if there's a long delay, or if they're replaying a play to get the right decision, we'll throw that in. So it's just getting the timing down.
Who needs tomorrow? Oh, Marcolino. Oh,
some games have a ceremonial first pitch,
to do
and others
all the
don't.
Fun stuff. So.
Yeah, this is going to be fun.
I'm jealous. So, but I admit it. So,
I've already had offers from at least 2 people. Can I join you in the box? I'll hold your scripts.
Yeah.
One of them was not Kevin the Suit Her. I want to make that clear here at the jump. He's going to the IndyCar race on Sunday anyway. It's not like he can go.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's fun.
No, it's touring. I got him a seat right in the middle of the track.
Center lane.
He said, can you give me really good seats? Take my word.
You bet I can.
I
like
did.
The running of the bulls. Run, baby. Wow, he's fast.
Oh, my God. Will Power's coming straight at me. Whoa.
Doo-doo. Went by twice.
He's running the wrong way.
Who is that idiot? Who is that idiot sitting out in the center of the track?
He got free tickets.
I didn't have to pay anything for him. It's just that we just put 2 chairs out there.
That's right. We still have Ferlazzo's cell phone number. We're good.
Oh, believe me. You think we're winning awards now? We get him back.
You guys want awards?
Oh, yeah. Kevin won an award for best high school play-by-play last year.
He's very good.
Yes, he is. He is very, very good.
I've heard his calls. His calls are good.
Very, very good.
Someone's going to latch onto him.
I mean, you should hear how he calls an extra point.
Which will happen next Friday night.
Wow. Well, all
okay. Okay.
Up.
For who? For who?
I just meant the start of the season.
Oh. Yeah. I got my email today for the football pool I'm in. There's like 40 or 50 people in it.
Wow.
So if you win a week, you win like $250.
Now, do you got to throw money in at the jump, or is that a week by week thing?
You pay $10 to be in it, and it's $5 a week. So you pay it all up front. It's $90 for the whole season.
And that's how Kevin Shikalemi deal works.
I mean, you could win every week and win a boatload of money. So last year. I just had an off year.
When do we start paying people up front? What? Have we already paid you for your appearance next Wednesday night at the Iron Front for the fall sports party?
No, you have not.
I was going to say.
I'll be there.
I know. I'm just checking. Make sure we got a scratch check for you. So, you know, we'll get her taken care of. But you would be there, check or no check, you'd be there regardless anyway. So it's not
of
like
course
gonna,
I would.
I know you would, so it'd be nothing we'd have to worry about. So.
You know, it's the I have a good time. I'm doing that tomorrow.
Yeah, but you got the new John Deere, right?
I do.
How's that working for you?
Oh, once you go with John Deere rider,
old guys talking about farm equipment and lawn and garden products. Here we go.
Well. Now, of course, this is a sports show. People are like, what are they talking about this for? But I think sometimes people say to me, I'm always interested in the personal stuff. I'm like, okay, fine. So I buy this tractor. I love this thing. And I bought a wagon to go with it. Love it. Okay. Well,
Kathy said the wagon.
Yeah. Oh. Well, I'll tell you what I've been using it for. I mean, you know, using it to haul back mulch, using it to haul back wood for the fireplace for the winter because you have to stack it because they just dump it in the driveway. So instead of, like, pushing it up and down the hill like I have been up, you know, to do that, I've been driving it back there with the wagon. And then, you know, we have how many trees I have here. Sean, you know, big oak, maples, the whole thing. I got a lawn sweeper. I'm like, yeah.
Well, just a slow.
He loves the tractor so much, he's going to ride it to the games. Here's Steve Jones.
My brother-in-law, Mike O'Donnell, had a John Deere. And when my father-in-law was still alive, but couldn't do as much as he was doing, Mike would go over and cut their yard. Well, Mike would go over on the just drive the tractor because it's not that far from
his
house to their house. Yeah. Well, one day he's driving back and the police pulled him over.
The police pulled.
Yeah, they wanted to make.
He had the worst luck.
Right. They wanted to make sure, essentially, did he have all his marbles in place? And then he explained, I just was going over to cut my father's yard for him. He can't do it right now. And they're like, oh, okay. We wanted to make sure you weren't going for a joyride.
Well, some people do. Well,
and that's exactly why they said. They just wanted to make sure they weren't being, you know, they weren't being nasty about it.
Yeah, but all that sweat equity going into late fall and early winter last year, that wood that you had to rack up, and you're telling me you carved into some mornings during the week where you wanted to take care of it because you had to pick your spots before the weather started to make a turn for the worse.
That's why I did all this. I did all this because. I get to a Sunday. I'm getting ready for the next game, and I just don't feel like I have 2 to 3 hours to spend doing all that. If I can cut it down to 45 minutes, okay, now it makes things, you know, far more functional. That literally is why I did it. I did it because of the time. It's just going to cut. I mean, because just getting the leaves, you have to go out and do that 7 or 8 times because of they fall so late here. And so you're out there and whatever. I remember being out Thanksgiving the last 2 years on Thanksgiving Day. Well, I didn't do it last year. I was in Mexico. But, I mean, like I did it when I came back out there Thanksgiving weekend trying to get rid of leaves because they fall so late. Well, if I can get in this thing, go around, bang, 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 get it done in 30 minutes. Oh.
No, it's great to have.
It's worth every dime.
No, we're looking just at that's the time. We're looking at a home. Guess where we may move to?
Acapulco?
Stores, Connecticut.
Stores, the home of the UConn Huskies.
We'll be living out in the middle of nowhere.
I hate to say it, but
it's a little retirement village.
I have never been to Stores.
It's a beautiful campus. There's a trail from where we're looking at, a walking trail from there right to the main campus. I mean, the place is in the middle of nowhere. It's a beautiful campus, but now we're looking to move. We'll sell this house and just get a little ranch and one level, and we'll be able to pay cash for it. So,
good. Love that.
C'est la vie. And then you'll be able to, South Windsor.
Then you'll be able to pay cash for your Lady Huskies basketball season tickets.
Yeah, that you need a loan. That you need a loan.
A little high. So they get a lot of money for those. It's all corporate. Connecticut's all corporate. It's not. It's not fan friendly. Never has been. So.
No, it is not. Connecticut really has never been fan friendly.
No, it's a front running state. If you win, they'll watch you. If you lose, you know, even the women, if they don't win the national championship. It's like a total failure, and nobody, it's like, what's wrong with them? You know, it's like, gosh, they won 11 of them, you know? Pretty good.
Yeah. As that call on 17 when Tiger Woods of the Players dropped it in, better than most.
We'll see. Gamble Pavilion, be right down the road.
Well, Kevin Freeman, who's the assistant basketball coach for Penn State in basketball, played many a game in Gamble. He was on the 99 national championship team as a starter.
He was like a baseball player playing basketball. That guy could throw the ball.
Yeah, he could.
Great athlete. Good man.
And a great guy. He lives on the same street as Jen. So, I mean,
really?
So good. Yep, good neighbors.
Yeah, awesome.
Small world.
Well,
have a great weekend. Good luck with the house.
Good luck, Sean.
Thank you, guys.
Sean's going to be great.
Proud of you.
Sean won't be good. Sean will be great.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.